a completely unreached area of the Amazon. We're in the Middle East, in Lebanon. There are 2 million Syrian refugees right now living in Lebanon. And we have a partner there who's ministering to those Syrian refugees. We're in Pakistan, Afghanistan. We're in India, Bangladesh, China. Bruce is going to China in a couple weeks to go there. We're in Tibet. Bruce is going to be in Tibet to baptize some new believers in Tibet, which is an unreached part of the world. So anyway, that's a bit about partners. We're based in Toronto. I was a golf pro in Northern California when I got saved, when I bowed my knee to God, and I said, okay, my life is no longer mine, it's yours. And from that moment on, he called me to then with the Soviet Union. So I went to this meeting, and it was a meeting about smuggling Bibles into the communist Soviet Union, about Brother Andrew, Open Doors Ministry, right? And so I thought I was going to be a James Bond for Christ, right? I thought I'd be smuggling Bibles into the Soviet Union. My first trip into the Soviet Union, the border guard opens the box, and he sees it's a Bible in Russian. And he looks at me and goes, can I have one? And I go, oh, I thought I was going to get in trouble. I thought I was going to, you know. I said, sure, you can have one. But what God does is he calls us out of anything, out of any circumstance, and he leads us. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Numbers chapter 9. And this is Israel in the desert. And of course, they needed the leading of God. They were led out of Egypt. And here's this big refugee people group wandering in the desert. Okay? And it says, on the day the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, was set up, the cloud covered it from evening till morning. The cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night, it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Wherever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. So they're being directed by God every day. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over their tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp, and then at his command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning, and when it lifted in the morning, they set out, whether by day or by night. Whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. Think about it. You ever been camping? You know, you drive to the camping spot. You get your tents out. You set it all up, right? Everybody is good to go. You bring out the cooler, you get the fire going, you set up the cook stove and everything else, and it takes a long time to get this thing set up. Think about this. You're following God in the desert. It's your name is Isaiah, and your wife is Rebecca, and you have 3 children, and you're just hoping, okay, God, we want to stay here a while. This is a nice place, right? Don't let that cloud stir. We want to stay here. We don't want to tear down camp and move again. And then the cloud stirs. And Isaiah and Rebecca and their children have to break down camp and follow this cloud until it settles. And they encamp again. You see, oftentimes, as God leads us, it's not comfortable. It can be a bit of an uncomfortable situation that God leads us in. And challenging to us at times. But the key to all of this is obedience, obeying the word of God. So how does God lead? Next slide, please. Or I can do it. There we go. He leads us through the word of God. Psalm 119:105 says, Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Right? It's actually, in the desert, they needed the cloud during the day and the fire by night to lead them. Don't need that anymore. We need the word of God. It's the word of God that leads us. Everything is submitted to God's word. All direction, it aligns with God's word. So if you're hearing something and it doesn't align with God's word, it's not from God. We submit everything that we hear in that inner voice and we submit it to his word. And if it is in here, we're good to go. If it's not, we do not move. This is the cloud. This is the fire. It's the lamp, the light for our path. Without it, we don't move. When I was going to Bible school in Salem, Oregon, happened to be the headquarters of Slavic Ministries for Youth with a Mission. And I remember saying, God, what do I do next? Where do I go? What am I supposed to do? I'm just about to graduate Bible school. And he gives me a scripture in the Psalm. I believe it's 103. It says, set your tent in Salem, and I will stretch it out. And Salem happened to be the town where I was at Bible school. And they asked me to come on staff right after I heard that word. It aligned with God's word. Now, there are some people, right? There's some people that take this word, and I don't know if you ever heard of the plop method. Oh, God, just give me a word. Boom, you plop, you let it down wherever it falls. Okay, this is the direction I'm going to get. Well, no, because you heard about the man, right, who did that red, and Judas went and hung himself. And then he did it again and says, go and do likewise. Well, we don't do it that way, right? God gives us wisdom. Every thought is taken captive and submitted to the word of God. Okay? We have to take every thought captive. Next, I'm going to go through these fairly quick. And every step is subject to the word of God. We do not deviate from this. This is our manual. This is the manual for life. This is how we walk according to this. Okay, next way God leads. It's the rhema word or the spoken word of God. John 10, 1 to 5. My sheep hear my voice, right? I was in Tanzania. I was working among the Maasai, who are these great people group. They're herdsmen. And they're really tall, and they jump. And they wear these rings around their necks. They have these long necks. And they're jumping. And we go to this marketplace where all these herdsmen bring in their sheep and their goats. And there's all these acacia bushes that they kind of make this makeshift pen. And so they open it up, they all come in, and they flood in. They're all mixed together. Right? And this is chaos. I thought it was just chaos. I was up on the hill watching them do this. And so this Maasai tribesman with his staff opens the gate, goes in, and he starts singing in this loud voice and walking like this. And the sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. And they followed this Maasai tribesman out as he led them. And we know the voice of God. And if you don't, then it's time to get close and to hear his voice. Doesn't matter what age you are, God speaks. There's 23 different ways God speaks in the Bible. God, it's not a problem of God speaking. It's a problem of us hearing, which means something. It means we have to tuck into God. We're his kids. He's our father. He loves us. He wants to speak to his kids. He wants to give us purpose and destiny. And he wants to speak a word to us and say, go and do this. I will be with you. That is our God. He is a God who speaks, who communicates. He communicates in creation. He communicates through animals. Through a donkey, he communicated. If he can communicate through a donkey, he can show us
the steps of our life, step by step by step. We're his sheep. Let's hear the voice of the pastor. And then I saw that shepherd do something really radical. The lamb was wandering, and you know, if you wander in Africa, there's jaguars, there's hyenas, there's lions, right? He came with his staff, and he went up to the lamb, and he whacked it. And the lamb was limping, and then he picked up the lamb, and he put it over his neck like this and carried it like this and kept singing. What was he doing? When we get out of line, God, it says, his rod and his staff, they comfort us. He brings us back into line. We have to trust God. And then what does he do? He puts us on his shoulder and he sings because he wants us to hear his voice and to learn his voice.
So the rhema is confirmed by God's word, and it produces faith to stand on the word given. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. My first trip into the Soviet Union, we were to go to Russia. We were working with a new church plant in the southern part of Russia, near Sochi, where the Olympics were. But they refused us visas, so we could get as far as Riga, Latvia, which is about as far as Vancouver is from Mexico. That's how far we were from where we were supposed to be, right? So we were nowhere near where we were supposed to be ministering. So I'm here, I'm leading my first team internationally, and you know, I go to the visa office. The team is waiting outside, and I say, listen, we're called to be in Russia. This is what we need to do, et cetera, et cetera. He goes, no way, you can't go. So we said, I guess we didn't really hear God, and I walked out. And so we went to the coast. We were ministering in some churches, and I felt just this nudging of God to go back and try again. So I go back to Riga. And I went back on a Sunday after ministering in a church. And flying in was this speaker. Her name is Joy Dawson, who speaks on hearing the voice of God. And so she was having a trouble at the airport. And the ministry leader could only speak Latvian and German. And I had 4 years of high school German. And, you know, I greeted him and we talked a little bit in German. I'm very broken. And so he said, come with me. I need some help. So I get there, and there's this big kerfuffle happening in the Riga airport. Joy Dawson is there, and she's saying, my bags need to be here. And so I'm going, okay, what's going on? So I'm translating from her English into German. He's translating my German into Latvian. And finally, I just see her. She bows her head and she says, speak, God. That's all she does, right in the midst of all this craziness. And I'm just looking at her. She lifts up her head and she says, tell them to go back. Angels have just brought the luggage. And she said, this is where it's going to be. I can't. First of all, I barely believe that. Second of all, I can't translate that. So I managed to get the story out. The guy behind the counter, his eyes wide, he just shakes his head. And she goes, no, go, they're there. And I said, she says to go. So they went back. Out he comes with her two suitcases. And so she's talking to me. She's saying, so where did you learn your Latvian? I go, I don't speak Latvian. I was speaking broken German. And anyway, she goes, so what are you doing here? I go, well, we're supposed to be in Russia. We're here in Latvia. She goes, why are you here in Latvia? And I go, well, they're denying our visa. She goes, well, what did God say?
I said, God said, go to Russia. And she goes, young man, circumstances do not dictate the word of God. The word of God dictates where you should go. And she told me a story of this young Korean girl who wanted to come to Bible school in the U.S. And they kept refusing until she boldly walked into the office and she said, you are keeping me from fulfilling the purposes of God. You need to give me a visa. And they gave her a visa. And so here I go into that visa office in Riga, Latvia. And I say to them, we are a team of young people that are called to go to Russia. And we are called by God. Do you understand that you are keeping us from fulfilling the purpose of God that He's called us to? You should grant us those visas right now. And the person looks up at me and says, okay. Boom, starts stamping the visas. Next thing, can we get train tickets? Sure enough, we all got first class tickets right down to Sochi. You see, even though things might be coming against us, what did God say? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Things might be, circumstances might be against you, might be stopping you from fulfilling the next step in God, but God spoke. And if God spoke, we stand on that until it happens. By faith, we move forward. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So when God speaks, let that word come into you. Let it build faith and then walk in it. You see, you're called to much more than Sunday mornings in church. You're called to reach your school, your friends, your neighbors. You're called to reach the nations of the world. This church has a heart for the nations of the world. And if God calls you, stand by faith and walk it out. Begin to take each step led by His Spirit, led by His voice, led by the Word of God until you see the purposes of God fulfilled. See, Jesus was led by the Spirit. After His baptism, after God's pronouncement, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased, the Holy Spirit takes Jesus and leads Him to 40 days of fasting and leads Him to the wilderness where He's tempted. That was the Spirit that led Him. See, oftentimes, we come into circumstances that are difficult and we just think, oh, this must not be God. No. Sometimes God wants to take us down from the mountain into the valley. If everything in life was a mountaintop experience, we'd bear no fruit. There's no fruit on the mountaintop. Where's the fruit born? It's in the valley. Where does the river flow? Not on top of the mountain. The river flows in the valley. What are you called? You are called an oak of righteousness, planted by the stream of God. Your roots go into and search for that stream until you're fed by the nourishment of the stream of God that comes into your roots, and you grow into this mighty oak whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. You bear fruit in these challenging situations. That's where the fruit is born. In those difficult moments, that's where God comes and He reveals Himself and He says, my son, my daughter, I'm with you. I'm going to bear fruit with you. You see, He doesn't leave us alone. He's always with us. He walks with us. Even in challenging situations, it is God. I don't know about you, but as I've walked through my life, I've been now serving God for 30 years. As I've served God for the last 30 years,
It hasn't been easy. I've had mountaintop experiences and I love it.
Because the perspective is amazing. You can see great distances. When I left Ukraine to come back to Canada, I left a thriving, vibrant, incredible ministry. Halfway through the ministry, God speaks to me and he says, "This isn't for you. This is for a Ukrainian that you're going to raise up." And I said, "Oh God, but it's my baby. It's my vision. It's..." And he says, "No." So I had to raise up this Ukrainian couple to obey God, and I had to give the vision away and the ministry away. And it was an incredible ministry. I remember us speaking on the streets, evangelism. And because at that point in time, the Soviet Union had just fallen and people were wide open. And I said, "You know what? These people are getting saved. What are we going to do with them? Let's start a Bible study." So I have this Bible study. The living room is about from here to that wall. That's the size of my living room. And I said, "Okay, so what do you think? How many people are going to show up? 5, 6, 10 maybe?" That night, 80 people come and cram that little room. That was the start of our ministry. Within 6 months, we had a church of 400. And God was asking me to give it all up. We were ministering in Central Asia. We were ministering to the Roma in the Carpathian, on the other side of the Carpathian Mountains in western Ukraine. And we were doing all this incredible work, and God said, "Give it up." See, it's not our work. It's not my work. It was his work. It was for his glory, not for my glory. And now, those Ukrainians have taken that ministry and made it an international ministry. They're in Albania, Bulgaria. They're in Turkey. They're in Central Asia. They've planted works in Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, in Kyrgyzstan, in Turkmenistan. I could have never done that. It was God. God's interested in the process just as much as the destination. Every step is important to him. Every step. And God reveals himself as we are led by his Spirit. Conclusion. Story in 1 Kings. King Ahab had just defeated the Arameans. Ben-Hadad had attacked them. And they just defeated them. And Ben-Hadad and his leaders, they said, "You know what? Since their gods are gods of the mountains, let's draw them down into the valley where we will defeat them." A prophet comes to Ahab. He says, "King Ahab, because they have said that God is the God of the mountains only, go into the valley and defeat the enemy, for he is with you." So here, the Israelites get drawn into the valley and go to war against the mighty Arameans. 7,000 Israelites against this army of tens of thousands. Because God is with them. He's not just the God of the mountain. He's the God of the valleys. Psalm 84, verse 5 says, "Blessed is the man who sets his heart on pilgrimage. Though he walk through the valley of Baca, the valley of tears, the valley of struggle, the valley of pain, God makes it a pool and covers it. And then leads him from strength to strength until he appears before him, before God in Zion." As we walk this life led by God, the tears we cry become pools that as people come behind us, they will actually be refreshed from the things that we've gone through. What we go through is not for ourselves, but it's also for future generations. You may be struggling even now through circumstances, through difficulties. God is with you. And the tears you sow become a pool for those in the future to be refreshed from. Let's pray.
Father, I'm grateful
for your leading, for your guidance, for who you are in our lives. We are led by your Spirit. Our lives are not our own, Jesus. You came to this earth, came as a baby, grew up, became a man, surrendered yourself to the Father, and then gave your life for us, died on a cross, shed your blood, so that we could be called children of God. You showed us how to live. You lived every day hearing what God said and then walking it out in obedience. I pray that you would help us do that as well, to follow your lead, to be led by your Spirit, to walk each day in your presence with faith, with purpose, understanding that our lives are not our own, but we've been paid for, we've been bought by a price, the price of the life of the Son of God. And so each one of us has bowed our knees and declared you are Lord, which means, God, you have all authority and all right to guide our lives, to lead us. And so this morning, as we sit and stand here, we just say, God, have your way among us. Holy Spirit, we invite you to lead us every day, to give us wisdom, grace, love, mercy to give to the world and to those around us. To call us into difficult situations, God, so that we could bear fruit and that we could see the healing of the nations because we are tapped into the stream of God. And where we sow tears, Lord, may they become pools for those that come behind on this path that we walk to be refreshed by our experiences and our testimonies. We submit ourselves again to you this morning saying, God, our lives are yours. We are your kids. And we say, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.